Jello Biafra. Which would you rather have? A pint of booze if you're a recovering alcoholic, or a pint of cacophony no matter what or who you are?
Speak into the mic, bitch.
Say that into the microphone.
Keep on rocking in the free world, and I mean rock, not pop punk. Not indie poo. Not middle of the road, Miley Cyrus-y dreck.
You're a freak with a microphone.
Good evening, ladies and fellas. This is a Pint of Cacophony. My name's Dan Patronillo, and this is Skid Row Studios. Today's huge.
Very big.
Huge.
It's so huge.
So huge.
It's almost as huge as Alex.
Yes. Almost.
We got the Murder City Devils in here today with a fucking new record. Spencer Moody and Cody Willis. They're going to be joining us in a little bit here, and it's going to be great times. We're going to get to know them a little bit better.
But almost as important as the Murder City Devils.
Mm-hmm.
It's Alex's birthday.
Oh. It was Alex's birthday yesterday.
You guys.
The boy has turned into a man.
He has.
He grew pubes. He showed me yesterday.
I've had pubes.
He grew pubes. He was like, hey, dude, look, I'm 25.
I've
checked
always...
this shit out. Like, I got pubes now. What's weird, though, and it freaked me out a little bit, is they're gray.
He's old already.
They're old man pubes.
You've got brown hair, red sideburns, and gray pubes. I don't seem to understand it, but I love you, brother, and happy birthday.
Thank you, dude.
Happy birthday, Alex.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I won't yell at you today just because it's your birthday.
Good.
Hey, if he fucks up, you yell at him. That's your job.
Well, of course, if he messes up, I'm still going to yell at him. But I usually yell at him even if he does a good job. So today,
that's
true. I'm going to hold back. I'm going to restrain.
It's all yelling with Jessica.
Pretty much. It's because I love you, Boo.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Let's get into some music so we can get to know what we're fucking in for tonight.
Yes, please. Yeah.
It's the Murder City Devils.
Yes, but I'm afraid I prematurely shot my wad on what was supposed to be a dry run, if you will. So now I'm afraid I have something of a mess on my hands.
Or raised kind of guy that would fuck a person in the ass and not even have the goddamn common courtesy to give him a reach around.
I had the craziest night. Things got totally out of hand. I got super wasted and I don't remember what happened. All I remember is seeing those flashing red and blue lights behind me. Now I'm looking at a DUI.
Aw, man, that's gonna cost so much money. How are you gonna pay for that?
Getting in trouble with the law is never an easy thing to deal with. The constant stress over how to get past your sticky situation doesn't always have to completely overcome you. Attorney Alexander Fuque focuses on DUI and criminal defense. He will help your case with less of a headache. Contact Alexander Fuque at Fuque Law Center if you are facing any criminal arrest charges. And we're talking any. He can help. If your case is drug-related, a DUI, or you've been charged with something more serious, no problem. Just visit his website at www.fuquelawcenter.com or call 626-385-8840. The Fuque Law Center serves anywhere in California, including Los Angeles, San Diego, and Orange County.
Tomorrow.
It's not like they're maniacs or anything.
The Murder City Devils.
Why are they doing this? Why are they doing this? They said when you get here, the whole thing started. Who are you? Who are you? Where did you come from? I think you're the cause of all this. I think you're evil. Evil.
The White Ghost has blood on its hands again.
People don't commit murder on credit.
This Tuesday, August 5th.
You didn't see the killing or the body. How do you know there was a murder?
The Murder City Devils.
Welcome back to a pint of coffee. Explosion, sorry. Welcome back to a pint of coffee. My name is Dan Patrinello. I got the Murder City Devils in front of me, or at least Spencer Moody and Cody Willis. How you two doing?
Pretty good.
Very well.
Should I be embarrassed over what you just heard?
I don't, are we supposed to guess the movie? Was it one?
No,
movie
no, that... no. Well, it was. I think we went Hitchcock theme. Could you guess what movies were in it?
No, I have no idea. No. I got the Full Metal Jacket earlier. But,
oh yeah, that was definitely in there. I'm glad you guys are in here. This is awesome for sure, and it's great that we have the new record and everything. The White Ghost has blood on its hands, and that comes out tomorrow. How stoked are you guys?
Pretty stoked. Good. It's cool. We're stoked.
It's being followed. You guys doing a whole little West Coast tour over it. You guys got FYF on the 24th, Glasshouse 26th, Pappy and Harriet's on the 27th.
Pappy and Harriet's.
So this new album drops tomorrow. How did you guys come up with the title?
The cover art was from my wife had a piece of artwork that she made, and we wanted to use the image for the album cover, and the image already had the words in it. So that was it.
So you pretty much just looked at it.
Yeah.
And you were like, this is the White Ghost has blood on its hands.
Correct.
It pretty much said it all for you.
Yeah. And it sort of, I mean, some of the ideas of some in the songs, it correlates perfectly. So it's good.
Did they come before the title or after the title?
The title, we didn't know what the title was like. The record was done. And then it was just by chance, basically. Yeah, there was nothing intentional.
And the stars seemed to align. It worked out.
Yeah.
Awesome. So The White Ghost has Blood on Its Hands. It's the first new studio album since 2000. Then you get split. Toured again in 2009. And you tease us with a live album and a box set, two singles, and then no record. So why now?
I guess it was just when we were able to pull it together and be able to all be in the room together without any meanness or I don't know. It was just this was the how long it took.
The timing was right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we also lucked out. We have a Dan, the guitar player for Murder City. He also plays in this band Cold War Kids, and they have a studio in San Pedro that he works at, and he helped build it out and everything. So they were kind enough to let us use it to record the record. So it was we did a couple different sessions and pulled different songs from it. Most of it is from the most recent session, but it was just like a really great live room to be in, where we rigged everything to record live, so we were all in the same room together. So it was a really fun process, just like writing songs and recording as we went. So we, you know, picked the best songs.
Is that how the process was?
Like, yeah.
So did you show up with material prepared or?
No, a lot of
not
it.
Not really.
A lot of it is we all wrote it at the same time in that room. So it happened very organically. But it was great.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Why don't we do a little bit of history here? So how'd you guys, just for people who don't know, how'd you guys come together originally and when did that all happen? The Murder City Devils.
So we were just, Cody and I were just talking about this. We're thinking probably like 1996 is probably when we started. Mm-hmm. And there were basically Derek and Dan Gallucci and myself had already been in bands together, and we wanted to move in more like kind of, we thought that we were moving away from punk music and becoming like a rock and roll band, which didn't actually, in retrospect, didn't really happen, but we needed a drummer, and our friend I think Kendrick is Kendrick.
Yeah, I met Dan at a party that was at Kendrick's house.
So we needed a drummer, and someone said that you should have Cody Willis play drums, and we did.
And then the Murder City Devils were born?
Yeah.
That was it.
Is it true that the Murder City Devils was the name of another band? You guys just kind of borrowed it?
Yes, that
and
is
stuck.
True.
Why don't you tell us that story?
Is it Quitty? Is it John Quitner's name?
Josh Plug or John Quitner. I think Josh Plug came up with the name, but he wasn't in the band. I think that maybe Quitty was, and maybe with Larry.
Was it one of the girls from The Need?
Probably. I don't know.
There were Josh was from Olympia, right?
Josh Plug. Yeah, he lived in Olympia. And he would be a go-to person for band names.
Yeah, oh my God.
and John Quitner as well.
Quitty did. He was in Tight Bros from way back when.
Mm-hmm.
They had a band called the Murder City Devils, which we thought was a great name. But
awesome name.
The lifespan of the band was like, it was like 2 weeks. And they maybe played a show or something. Like, but the band was over. It was done with.
But we got permission.
Yeah.
So like you guys formed and you're like, we need a band name. You're like, we really liked that one. Is it cool if we use it?
Yeah. Can we take your band name?
And that's how it went, and you guys just...
Yeah, we did it.
You stole it, I guess.
Yeah, we should have just looked around more.
I don't think you should have. I think the name suits you guys so fucking well. I think it's great. Like, at this point, like, I think you came to own it for yourselves. Definitely.
Yeah, anytime... That's one of my least favorite things about being in a band is picking the name of the band, because it's such a monumental thing, but... At the same time, after a year, it just loses all its original meaning anyway, and
you think about all the big ones too. It's like The Who. What a fucking shitty band name, but like, what a great fucking rock band. And then like, The Who becomes that.
Yeah, it doesn't mean whatever it originally meant. You know, so
yeah, exactly.
So it's stupid.
We both, me and my board op here, we both bought copies of In Name and Blood, just the vinyl itself. And in the liner notes, you guys have like different crime scenes with you guys, and I'm sure that photo shoot was fun, but we're just curious, just like, did you guys make up causes of deaths for yourself?
Yes.
Can we please hear them?
Oh, well, they're just like pretty straightforward, like stabbed with a bottle.
Yeah,
I mean, there was like Clue. Like, more I think I was
Spencer in the hallway with a bottle.
Yeah, didn't you get some fake
Cody?
Yeah,
fake entrails, fake guts.
I think I was beaten to death in a phone booth with the phone. It was supposed to be. What else? Dan hung himself. I don't know.
Yeah,
or someone hung him.
Yeah, he was in the bathtub, I think.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I think he had some props.
Yeah.
That's great. So what's the difference between touring now and then back, you know, since you guys reformed and we're here?
Everybody knows what they're doing a lot more, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
We, now everybody knows how to tour and we know each other. And so it's way more laid back than it used to be.
Like, well, how was it before for you guys?
You guys did some West Coast touring, but
yeah, very little. I mean, just a little bit, mostly. I mean, it was like, I mean, when we started touring, we didn't have, like, a record or anything, you know? I mean, no one... It was, like, pretty... I mean, it was before the Murder City Devils, when... I remember the first time I was ever in a band that got paid $100
for a
to
night.
Play a show. Yeah, yeah. And I thought, fuck, like, we could really do this.
Yeah, $100 a night, every night.
$100, okay. Like that's like,
yeah,
you know, more than gas. There's there's only four people. You split $100 four ways.
I mean, maybe
you
spend $20 on
several
the,
days.
Yeah, $20 on the calling card, so you can use the payphone to phone in your next gig.
Yeah. we didn't have Murder City Devils didn't have like a cell phone.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I think Cody got the first cell phone, and then we all just ruthlessly made fun of him because we thought that it was like the stupidest.
How big was it?
Why the fuck would you need a fucking cell phone?
Yeah, it was like a Nokia. It looked like it held Skittles or something.
Was it the one that they beat you to death in the phone booth with?
No, that was analog.
The size of a brick. Like.
Yeah, pretty much.
So you guys
I mean, we didn't know what we were doing at all. Like, we, you know, booked our own tour. I think, well, no, the first tour, I think.
The guy from the.
Aaron from the Mono Men.
Oh, the Mono Men. That's so great.
He was our booking agent, and.
he did a bad job.
He did a really.
He went to jail while we were on tour.
Terrible. Yeah, we tried to call him.
So we couldn't get a hold of him to help us with anything.
And we called him. We had two shows, like, fall through in Texas. We were totally broke in Texas. And we tried to call our booking agent, and the person on the other end of the phone let us know that he had been arrested for punching a cop in the bar that he runs the night before. So,
but actually, in retrospect, he did a really good job, because why would anyone be booking us? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, he actually did a good job by finding any shows. But it was like we
he
would
made
always
it work.
Be, we would always, for a long time, actually, we would like it seemed like we were always at the. We were on the same street as the bar where we wanted to play. But
gotcha.
We were, like, next door. You know, like, we played the, like, we played, like, next door to Emo's.
Gotcha.
You know? Like.
Yeah.
That's pretty fucking classic. You guys got FYF or, coming up this
or
month.
There's, right? Or it was the gazebo in the park.
Oh, yeah.
From across from the bar that we wanted to.
Yeah.
The Murder play. City Devils played a gazebo.
But no, we saw the gazebo and the kids gathered there, and I think we just kept driving on that one.
We were kind of assholes. We ditched out on several shows early on. When we'd be there and then no people would show up, and then we'd just leave.
You'd be like, nah, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
And just leave.
Yeah.
Well, things have definitely changed for you guys. FYF's coming up on the 24th. You guys stoked about that?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Who are you guys excited to see there?
I don't know. Who's playing?
God, the Bronx.
Slow Dive.
I'm looking forward to seeing Slow Dive in the Bronx.
Got the Strokes as well.
The Strokes, really? That's fucking awesome. I would love to see the Strokes.
I think it's going to be a great week, and Alex is going to be there, and he's going to cover it for us. Maybe he can bug you guys. We'll see how that goes. Just to go in the next song block here, you guys were featured on a Kings compilation back in 2001. What made you guys choose to cover alcohol?
Quab told us to.
Yeah, the guy who put that together, this guy Quab in Seattle, I think he kind of had suggestions.
Yeah.
He compiled all the bands, and then he gave you a suggested
song.
He's like,
I think you guys could do, could nail alcohol, so let's do alcohol.
Which Quab knows his Kinks. He was in a really insane, amazing Kinks cover band that, they were amazing. They could play everything. So he's like a super fan. So he had it in his mind what he wanted to do.
He made the right choice. That was the right song.
Who are we to say no? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, right on, man. We're going to go on into playing your guys' version of Alcohol, because that's one of our fucking favorite songs here by the Kinks. And then we're going to go song by song through the new record. And I think a lot of people are stoked about that. And I think we even have a call on the line, but we'll get to that. You're listening to A Pint of Cacophony. Let's get back to this.
All right.
So, I heard the Murder City Devils are playing at some Indian reservation.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I heard it was going to be intense.
I would fall asleep.
I figured if I blew myself early, I'd be nice and relaxed for a 9 o'clock dinner reservation.
Man, what's your problem?
Can you believe it? I got fired. I've had this job for years, and out of nowhere, they tell me to pack up and leave. I don't get it. I don't deserve this, and I need this income.
Really? That doesn't sound right, man. You need to do something about this. You need to get someone to help you fight this.
Imagine losing your job for something out of your control or being harassed at work. In this economy, we depend so heavily on our sources of income. Getting it taken away from us for wrongful reasons is devastating. If you've been wrongfully terminated from your job, call attorney Alexander Fuquay at Fuquay Law Center. He'll fight for you. Contact by phone at 626-385-8840 or visit his website at www.fuquaylawcenter.com. Fuquay Law Center serves anywhere in California, including Los Angeles, San Diego, and Orange County.
Why? 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 Why?
You need it.
What? Oh, fuck! Ow!
Because it's song by song.
Welcome back to A Pint of Cacophony. My name is Dan Patronillo. We're going to go song by song, at least through a few of your songs here. And we'd like love to hear you talk about, you know, after we go through each one, the writing process or how each one came to fruition and that kind of thing. Is there any, we're going to go into Cruelty Abounds first. Is there anything you want to say about that first before we play? And let's just hear it.
Yeah. You know what I want to hear is, I feel like the PSAs you've done for the attorney.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like I've heard the beginning of two really interesting stories that I don't get to hear the rest
you
of.
You want to hear the rest? Yeah.
The DUI story and the guy losing his job. What happened to these guys?
Yeah. You know what? We'll figure that out and we'll make a scene.
Okay.
Like for the next episode or so, and we'll email that to you. Just so
let's hear the part two.
Yeah, we'll hear like exactly what happened. Did they get off? Did they die? Like.
Yeah. Did the guy find another job? Is he going to be okay?
Yeah.
What did he do? What did he? How did he get fired?
Oh my God. Like, why was he wrongfully accused in the first place? Because
was it how he dressed? Was it? Yeah.
All right.
Let's go into this song. It's called Cruelty Abounds. It's on The White Ghost Has Blood on Its Hands Again, which comes out tomorrow. Let's hear this and let's hear your take on how that happened.
Okay.
Welcome back to Panic Cacophony. That was Cruelty Abounds off of your guys' new record.
Yes, it was.
it was sick, man. Like, why don't you guys tell us about how that one was? What's it about?
Spencer, I mean, does cruelty rule? I don't know, but it sure gets around. That's what it's about.
That's basically sums
That's
it up.
That's it. You know what I mean? I don't
know. There you go. Yeah. I mean, this whole record we wrote in the studio, you know, with everybody else. I think Derek had, this was Derek's riff on bass. Mm-hmm. That's how it started. So we figured it out and rearranged it, and Spencer had the words. And it's funny, we didn't have a political agenda in mind when we started the song, but it just
came to be what it should.
Yeah, which felt really good. It felt genuine, you know.
When did you guys start working on this record?
Well, we've been doing, since we have this studio situation
right.
We can use in San Pedro, we've done a couple different sessions, like when everybody can get together. And it's just been like a week of like driving to Pedro and hanging out at the studio and
like
seeing what comes
out.
Yeah.
Crank two out.
And there's one.
Until next time.
There's been ones that we did end up using that, you know, they felt great at the time and we thought they're awesome at the time. And then you come back, you know, a month later and listen to it again. Maybe not so much. Or it just didn't fit in with like the overall prevailing flavor of the songs.
Right.
Picked
the
on
big
the record.
Picture for the record.
Yeah. And if you listen to this record, there's some really different songs on there. Like it varies quite a bit.
This next one, Don't Worry. This is the last song on the track,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I know we're kind of playing it out of order, but I just think it's important to touch on this one. Cause like we were talking about off mic, like, That's a little different, but I think it's, I don't know.
Let's let the audience be the judge. We're going to play this and hear what you guys have to say about it. This is Don't Worry off the new record.
I think I'll name a blanket and hold her out the window so the whole world can see.
My name is Dan. I'm sitting here with Spencer and Cody from the Murder City Devils. That was Don't Worry off of The White Ghost Has Blood on Its Hands Again, which comes out tomorrow. I don't know. I'm loving it. How are you guys loving it since being in the studio and now hearing it again?
It's cool. I like hearing it on the radio.
During the break, you were talking about how your recording process versus this time on this record, which is self-released, how you guys went in and kind of organically put it together yourselves, like played and then like, hey, let's track this, make that a song, or choose not to. How is that different than what it used to be before?
We used to have we don't have a regular band practice anymore, so that's one thing. So we used to go to band practice and practice songs that we already had and then work on new songs. And then usually there would be some degree of playing those songs live and maybe touring even with a song. And then you go into a recording studio with a record producer who is going to be kind of, and then you sort of, it turns into this new kind of collaboration with someone who has their own ideas about how it's supposed to sound. And also, I feel like when we were making records before, we sort of had an agenda. Like, we were a young right. band that was sort of trying to, like, make our way. And we had the, you know, sort of, if this doesn't work out, then we're going to have to get jobs kind of fear. So we were sort of willing to sort of, like, just sort of do what we need to do to, like, make people happy and yeah, stuff like that.
Kind of risk it all because it's early enough.
Yeah. Well, no, we weren't no, not at all. We were, like, doing what we were supposed to do.
Gotcha.
And now it doesn't matter. We can do whatever the fuck we want. And it's our band, and we don't have a record label. And if we start playing something and it feels right and we like it, then we can just record it and mix it how we want and put it out in the world. And it doesn't. And if people don't like it, it doesn't matter.
That's got to be like a sense of freedom, though, for you guys. That's got to be satisfying on some level.
It's neat. It makes it all more. It makes it what it always should have been, sort of,
right.
I think. But at the same time, we were in a different place, and I understand why we were doing things that way. And we were, and the attitude we had at the time made it possible for us to all be united and to do it at the time. We were on the Gusto train, and we had a mission. And so we were focused on achieving something, but that, you know, and also we had sort of these ideas about what we wanted. Well, like listening to that song that you just played, I just was thinking about how that was kind of the song that we wanted to make.
Right.
Before. Like, that's the song when I was, like, I wanted to make that song when I was 21, mm-hmm. but we couldn't.
What were the restrictions then?
We weren't very good at what we did. So we were just had to hold on and just do it, you know, like,
yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
like, you know, we weren't in a position to tell people to fuck off, you know,
gotcha,
because we needed all the help and we needed to try to, like, just get through the song,
right?
You know, like, just go in the room and, like, get all the way through the song or whatever. Right. And now we can all just get through the song. Because we're, like, musicians now.
And I feel like that bleeds into, like, even touring, like you were saying, how it's easier now because you guys know what you're doing. Like,
yeah, when it comes to, I mean, we've learned what not to do. And, you know,
enough times, right?
Exactly. So, yeah, it's way more laid back. And I feel like things that we used to overthink and really obsess over, we just can kind of let go now and just... Yeah, I make the kind of songs we want to make and worry about it.
Does that make the record just feel better for you?
Yeah, personally, yeah. Like, it really sucks to have to listen to a record that you had zero fun recording.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when you... Because even regardless of how other people hear it or how it turns out, it just... For me, anyway, it just takes me right back to that time.
Oh, the sentimental.
And how much
just remember the nightmares.
I just wanted to get out of there right. and, like, get this over with and... at least now I can listen to it, like, or anytime I hear it on the radio or whatever, I feel good about it. And, like, it's a losing situation. Like, I'm proud of the songs. I like the song we made, and, like, it felt good to do it. So
that's awesome. That's super insightful. We're going to go into the next one here, and this is Pale Disguise, which you guys have released off of this album already. So that's been going around a little bit on the internet, but let's hear it and hear your take on that one.
Okay.
That was Pale Disguise by the Murder City Devils off of The White Ghost Has Blood on Its Hands Again, which comes out tomorrow. And this is A Pint of Cacophony, and my name's Dan. I got Cody and Spencer sitting in front of me. What did you guys think of Pale Disguise, hearing that back on the radio?
That's cool. We were just talking about having to do things over and over again.
Yeah, we were talking about the redundancy of a recording session.
Striving for absolute perfection. In the drums, that's a good example of there's a lot of imperfections going on in that song. If you want to get your metronomes out,
were you sitting
up and
there,
slows down all over the place.
While we were talking, were you sitting there cringing like, fuck?
No. What I was saying was it's more important that the feel of the song is good, I think, than having it be technically correct. But
I think that's what Spencer was saying during the break too.
I thought you were doing like a crescendo.
What?
But what?
I was rushing up to this big climax. It never happened.
But what you were saying during the break, Spencer, that I thought was awesome was the difference between like the passion and that first take, and then sitting there with somebody behind the glass making you do it over and over and over and over again, and like that second one, is it really better? You want to elaborate on that a little bit and how that had to be on this album?
Well, it was just nice the way we did it. That if we did it and everyone thought it was good, then it was good, you know?
Right.
And it wasn't like a nitpicky, it was like about an overall feel.
And you feel like...
And then it frees you up to be like, as far as singing, I could be like a emotional human being in the recording studio instead of having to be super focused on just making everything like exactly what it's supposed to be, which is like totally arbitrary anyway.
Exactly. I feel like a music that breathes that way, or like bands that don't play to a click track or that kind of thing, or like you were saying in this song, how you heard those imperfections in the drums or whatever, but it's all about the feel. I think that carries through like way more, and people, whether they think it or not or notice it or not, I think they fucking feel it. I don't know, I feel that with you guys, and I think there aren't very many bands that, like, you kind of catch that vibe off of. It's just, like, it's pure passion, it's hard, it's gritty, and it's fucking real. And I think this new record does it, and your last records have done it. I think it's cool.
Thanks.
Cool.
So the next song's Non-Participation. So we're going to go into that, and then we're going to say our goodbyes and figure out how people can buy the fucking thing.
Sounds good.
I think people want to know that. So it kind of got me.
Shut up.
Welcome back to Pagan Cacophony. My name is Dan Patrinello. That was non-participation by the Murder City Devils off of The White Ghost Has Blood on Its Hands Again, which comes out tomorrow, which is what, like 2 hours from now? How cool is that? That's pretty cool. I just want to say thanks for both of you guys, like Spencer and Cody, for just coming down here and having, like, giving us the time to talk to you guys and share this with everybody.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us, man.
Oh, please. I mean, it's been good. The record's awesome. And I'm sure everybody right now, like, we've talked about it for an hour. How did we get it? How do we get the record?
You can come to a show.
Which you fucking should.
Yeah.
All you guys out there.
Tickets are still available. Yeah, come to a show, or you can go to our website, and I think you can order vinyl there as well.
Right. The show is August 24th. You guys are going to be at FYF.
Yes.
You're on the 26th. You're going to be at the Glass House in Pomona.
Yes.
And the 27th, Pappy and Harriet's. Great barbecue, good beer.
Barbecue's very good there.
Yeah, that's good stuff. So the website, that's themurdercitydevils.com.
Yep.
So we can order vinyl from there or the digital download.
Yep.
And that posts tomorrow?
I believe so, or maybe in a couple hours. I'm not sure if it, like, goes down right at midnight.
Right
or
at
what.
Midnight. Well, if you follow us on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook, we'll be posting the links for all of the Murder City Devils stuff and their upcoming shows. Just wanted to say thanks one last time. It's been great, honestly.
Thank you, man.
All right,
thanks.
Catch you guys next Monday.
That's the spirit. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. Now fuck off and die.
You are listening to Skip.